This is Pastor Emery. Many American evangelists tell their listeners that Christians will soon be taken off the earth in a rapture and will escape a great tribulation to come. However, since 1918, the Red Communists have killed upwards of 100 million Christians in Asia, Eastern Europe, and Africa. Is the rapture reserved only for European and Western Hemisphere Christians? Or is the rapture a false doctrine? In this and the next programs, we are going to examine in some detail the teaching by many ministers and evangelists that all born-again Christians will, sometime in the near future, suddenly be snatched off the earth and taken to heaven, after which great tribulation, including war and death of millions, will come upon the earth. We'll call this study, Rapture or Tribulation, Which? I am on the mailing list of the Jack Van Impe Crusades out of Royal Oak, Michigan. In his November newsletter, he tells of a visit to the Strategic Air Command headquarters at Omaha, Nebraska, where he was given some information about the comparable military strength of the United States and the Soviet Union. Most of what they told him is not new, and some has been in the public news media in recent months. The gist of it is that Russia has both nuclear and conventional military superiority over the United States of America, and that Russia is now increasing her military power while we are decreasing ours. Mr. Van Impe's conclusions are that America could soon be on the losing end of a nuclear holocaust, and suggest that holocaust may come no later than 1985. He then asked the question, does the Bible predict a war such as the one pictured in the scenario above? And he gives the answer. Yes, Malachi 4:1 states, behold, the day that cometh shall burn as an oven, and Jeremiah 30, verse 7, declares, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. And Daniel 12:1 informs us, there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. And then Dr. Van Impe adds, Christ himself said in Matthew 24:21, for then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. End of quote. Later in the newsletter, he also quotes portions of Ezekiel 20, verse 47, Zephaniah 1:18, and Revelation 8 and verse 7. He then says, today a stockpile of nuclear explosives jams the weapons arsenals of the world. Reports indicate that there is the equivalent of a ton of TNT stockpiled for every person presently alive. Surely when it is all unleashed, it is the tribulation hour. Dr. Impe goes on. Now hear the prophet Jeremiah again. Jeremiah 30, verse 7. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Christians will be gone when this international holocaust becomes a reality. Praise God. And then Mr. Van Impe quotes Revelation 3:10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. End of quote from Dr. Jack Van Impe's November 1979 newsletter. I read all of that because it is so typical of the general doctrine of the rapture taught by scores of radio evangelists and by unknown thousands upon thousands of church ministers in America and Canada. The theme is, the world is building up toward a great and terrible death and destruction period, which will come upon the earth in the near future, which will be the worst time the earth has ever seen, but you Christians will not be here when it happens. You will all be gone into the heavens, taken there by Jesus Christ, in what they then call the rapture. Now, in a few minutes, I am going to examine some of the verses which were quoted in that article to see if they can or do include such a sudden and complete removal of Christians from the earth as the rapture ministers insist. While you are getting your Bibles to follow with me, I have a rather startling book for you. It's titled The Rapture of the Saints. This book, quite simply, plainly, and with a great deal of historical and biblical evidence, proves beyond doubt that the so-called pre-tribulation rapture doctrine is not only a false doctrine, but that it was originally invented by the enemies of the Christian church. Over 400 years ago, as Northern and Western Europe began to publish the Bible and make it available to the lay people, men like John Wycliffe, Martin Luther, John Huss, William Tyndale, John Knox, and many others began to write and preach that there were people upon the earth called Antichrists who were in positions of political and religious power over Europe, and that those people were the prophesied Antichrist of the Bible. These great men of God taught that man was justified by faith alone, that there was only one mediator between man and God, and that was Jesus Christ, and that men needed no ecclesiastical or civil power to intervene with God for their salvation. They taught that those who inserted themselves between man and God and took Christ's place on the earth were Antichrist. Beginning in the 1400s, the people of Northern and Western Europe began to accept that teaching and to denounce the Roman Catholic Pope as the Antichrist. The Roman Pope answered with excommunications, with military force and persecutions in an attempt to suppress these protesters. In the end, Rome failed, and large areas of Europe rejected Roman Catholicism and became Protestant. During this time, a Jesuit Catholic priest came up with the idea of interpreting prophecy in such a way that Christians would not look for an Antichrist power now, but that instead an individual Antichrist would make his appearance at some time in the distant future. He presented this idea to the Catholic bishops with the intent that it be used to neutralize the Protestant preaching that the Antichrist was already come. The bishops rejected it, partially because that interpretation would also conflict with basic Roman Catholic teaching that the Roman popes would rule right on until Christ returned. The Jesuit priest published his theory anyway, under an assumed name, and it had some small distribution in Europe in the 1500s and 1600s, but had little or no effect on the Protestants, and they continued to grow. However, within this last century, that theory, concocted by this Jesuit priest, that the Antichrist was future and would not rule over Christians, a theory he developed, which he hoped would destroy Protestantism, has now become the common doctrine of thousands of supposedly Protestant ministers. I know many of you will be amazed as you read this book, giving the historical origin of the pre-tribulation rapture doctrine. I know that I was when I first read it. No, I did not write this book. It was written some years ago by a Scottish Protestant minister as a warning to other Protestants who had begun to accept this pre-tribulation rapture doctrine. He warned them they were accepting a spurious doctrine, that it was not based upon the Bible, but more than that, it was a doctrine originally dreamed up by an enemy of Protestant Christianity. Now, don't take my word for this. The Rapture of the Saints by Duncan MacDougall. Now, I know many of you already know the pre-tribulation rapture is false, but you cannot seem to convince your friends of it, so here is a book which, if they will read it, will bring them out of that delusion. And you folks who are a little skeptical, you stay tuned and follow with me in the Bible, The Rapture of the Saints by Duncan MacDougall. He will give you the historical origin of the rapture doctrine. However, I can prove to you that doctrine is false from the Bible alone. I don't really need any other book to do that. First, let us examine the two passages which were quoted in that newsletter to mean removal of the Christians prior to tribulation. One was part of Jeremiah 30, verse 7. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it, which was followed by Van Impey's comment, yes, we Christians will be gone when this international holocaust becomes a reality, end of quote. Now, that is really a strange passage for that minister to use about the removal of Christians, since he also teaches that the Jews are Israel, or Jacob's descendants. And I have other articles written by him in which he quotes this same verse to prove that the Jews are going to be saved here on earth during this great tribulation. So on the one hand, he quotes it to prove the Christians will be gone, and on the other hand, he quotes it to prove the Jews will be here, but safe. Turn with me to Jeremiah 30, and let's read not a portion of one verse, but several verses. The passage actually begins with verse 4. And these are the words which the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. So it is at first quite clear the passage is about all of Israel. Verse 5 and 6, for thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces turned to paleness. Those two verses describe a time of great fear, with men pale and trembling, as if they were in the terrible pain of childbirth. Then comes the verse quoted, verse 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Now that is the verse quoted by the evangelist to mean the removal of Christians. But read with me the very next verse, which describes how Jacob will be delivered from the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, if you don't have your Bibles, you write this down and read it later, because I just quoted you a well-known evangelist who tells his Christian followers that this verse 7 of Jeremiah 30 means they are going to be raptured off to heaven. Instead, here is what that deliverance actually is. You listen. Verse 8, Jeremiah 30, the very next verse. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. Jacob will be delivered from the time of Jacob's trouble by God stopping the non-Israelites from living off of Jacob. I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and strangers, and that means non-Israelites, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. So instead of someone being raptured off to heaven out of his trouble, as that evangelist says, the holy word of God says Jacob will be saved out of his trouble by being released from a bondage where other people have been living off of his labor and substance. It has absolutely nothing whatever to do with anyone leaving the earth. And yet a part of that one verse, a part of a whole passage, was used by a minister to teach something which that passage is not even talking about. So you stay tuned. Especially you people who have been fooled by this rapture doctrine. And I'll read a few score of Bible passages during the next several broadcasts which are used to teach the rapture, and every one of them can be shown to teach something entirely different. Turn to Revelation 3 and verse 10. The other verse used by the evangelist to conclude his statement about the removal of the Christians. He quoted, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." That, too, was supposed to be a promise of the removal of the Christians. Well, there are several things wrong with using it to teach that, and you follow with me in the Bible. First, this is one verse in the long passage in chapter 2 and 3, which is addressed to seven churches, and this verse is addressed only to the sixth one, the church at Philadelphia. If these are prophetic churches, one arising after the other, as many teach, then that would mean that Jesus is promising the removal, not of the last church of this age, but the sixth one. In any case, it is not addressed to all of them, not even to all the overcomers, since there seem to be overcomers in all seven churches, while this phrase is addressed only to the sixth church. Even the word temptation, from which someone is going to be saved, has no meaning at all in relation to tribulation, as the rapture people use the word. Let us see how the dictionary defines the word temptation. Page 2598 of my big Webster dictionary under temptation, quote, "A testing, a trial, enticing to evil. As a noun, that which tempts, an inducement, an allurement, especially to something evil," end of quote. I would hardly call tribulation, pain, torture, or death a temptation. Even the phrase in Revelation 3:10, "to try them," indicates a tempting or a testing. It makes much more sense to interpret Revelation 3:10 as a promise from Jesus Christ that he would keep the church of Philadelphia from succumbing to temptation to do evil. If it is an end-time prophecy, which I believe it is, we can see the tremendous increase in temptations being laid before Christians through movies, television, drugs, alcohol, filthy and pornographic literature, and books, which are tempting us to do evil. That at least fits the meaning of the word temptation. This evangelist quoted that phrase in relation to Christians being saved from a nuclear holocaust and death. When nuclear bombs are unleashed, they do not unleash temptation. They unleash death, destruction, illness, and disease. For those who die, it is usually instantaneous. Not much of a period of temptation, would you say? Certainly not 7 years, as they say the tribulation will last. Now, I don't know what you think a temptation is, but I would hardly identify instantaneous death as temptation. It is almost as if he didn't even know the meaning of the English word temptation, or perhaps he thought you didn't. And he is not the only one. Over the years, I have talked with many individual Christians who believed the rapture doctrine. When I told them I did not, I've had several of them immediately quote Revelation 3:10 more or less this way, "But Jesus Christ promised us he would save us from the hour of temptation which was coming upon all the earth." When I told them the word temptation meant tempting someone to do evil, they didn't know what to say. They had heard it used to mean tribulation so often and for so long, they had accepted it without thinking. And that is part of our problem. Christians do not think. They accept without thinking, without even investigating whether the verse or the passage or even the word itself means what the ministers say it means. How about some of the other verses or parts of verses quoted by Mr. Van Impe to teach the tribulation and the removal of Christians before it comes to pass? And remember now, He is only one of thousands who do this. The first one was Malachi 4:1. He quoted, "Behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven," and then implied that meant nuclear war. But let's read the rest of the passage. "And all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch." Now, if that really is about a nuclear war, the nuclear bombs would have to be pretty sophisticated to burn up only the wicked. And there is more. How about the next verses? For the passage goes right on about that same day. Verse 2 and 3 of Malachi 4. "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts." How about that? Mr. Van Impe quoted a small portion of a verse and said it meant a day of nuclear war. He then followed it by saying that Christians wouldn't be here when that day came. And yet when we read the whole passage, we find that not only are the Christians present in that day of the great burning, but it will be the Christians who will be treading down those who are burned up. As I said, the problem is not really the minister. The problem is you. You do not read your Bible to see if it really says what the minister says it says. And so phrases and portions of phrases are read to you, and you are told it means such and so, and you believe it, and you are deceived. The next passage used was Matthew 24, verse 21, where Christ said, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be." I'll have to leave that to next week. However, before then, please read the entire chapter, especially verse 9, which says, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Tribulation and killing of the followers of Christ are both in Matthew 24. You might also read verse 10, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." Next week, God willing, we will continue on this subject, rapture or tribulation, which? Until then, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian America.